in five senses stuff, right? But he's saying the kingdom is here. I was actually reading this morning, little side note. I was reading this morning, and I saw a whole other, goodness gracious, how did we miss this stuff, that we might look at next week. We'll see where the Lord takes us. But a couple other things really quickly. Rachel's community group is right after service today. If you're part of her group, you got an email, please send us some of you responded. But that is right after service in the back of the church over there. They'll be meeting for some lunch and our first session of the Whisper series, Learning to Hear the Voice of the Lord. Amen. So how many people think we need to hear the voice of the Lord today? Amen. So, I think that's it for now, off the top of my head. But anyway, you guys ready for the word?
Yeah.
Giving. We'll talk about giving just really quickly here. If you're getting new, just a couple of visitors with us. Most of our giving's online. Alex, if we can get our link up there in a moment. But if you'd like to give, it's online there, or we do have a box in the back of the sanctuary. And I just want to, again, thank you all. We're doing well, still financially. Almost, the year's almost over. How many of y'all can believe that? 2022 is almost over. I know what it was. Spiritual gift survey. I got about 10 back. And let me touch on that just really quickly. If you did not get that, please let me know. If your email kicked it back or something, I sent it out via email on Thursday. And those of you, several of you sent it back to me, and you just go, boy, Pastor, like, okay, maybe this one and this one, but this one, like, what? It's weird. You know, I don't get it. And let me explain just really briefly, kind of a little bit more what this survey is about. And it's kind of like, any of y'all familiar with like the ink, I don't know what they call it, like the ink blot test or whatever? If you go to a psychiatrist and they hold ink blots up, what is it?
Rorschach.
The Rorschach. Speaking in tongues over there. But you know what I'm talking about. They hold up ink blots, and you're supposed to just go, what does this look like? Just fire it quick, right? That's how this survey, you're supposed to take it, right? Don't think about it. Question, just pow, hit it quick, right? Because it's trying to get past your five senses, past your carnal brain, and see what's in your heart. Can I get amen? If I took that 20 years ago, it probably would have hit teaching up there, and I'd have been like, no way, right? Trying to see what God has deposited in your heart that maybe you're not even aware of.
Right.
Amen. So if you one of those is like confusing, don't just throw it away like this test doesn't work. It could very well be the Lord is using it to reveal something that is hidden in your heart that he wants to uncover. Amen. So if you haven't done that, please do it. Get it back to me. We're going to compile the results, and we're going to be looking at getting everybody more involved that would like to be more involved. Around the turn of the year into 2023. Amen? So, let's get to the Word. How many have enjoyed these last couple weeks of digging through this parable in a different kind of way? And I tell you what, the more I've been reading, I've found more and more support that this parable is indeed a progression rather than how we've always thought about it. So, let's pray for just a moment here. Lord, we ask... one more time here, Father, as we finish this parable, that you have help our hearts to be soft. Help us, Lord, to have ears, as Scripture says many times, that hear what the Spirit is saying. Not necessarily what I'm saying, but what the Holy Spirit is saying. And Father, I pray that I would be a vessel. God, let my tone be good. And I pray that we'd not enjoy this like in a carnal sense, but our spirit man would be fed this morning. And we'd leave here, God, stronger and challenged and encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So one thing I want to do really quickly here is I want to just touch on something I didn't really tie up well last Sunday in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. If we can get that up on the screen real fast, Alex. But Matthew 11, 20, 29 says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you, what church?
Rest.
Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find,
rest.
I would say rest.
Rest
for your souls. All right, so the first word rest, Greek word is intermission. Two different Greek words. We talked about that last Sunday. The second rest, which comes after we get in the yoke with Jesus, if you want teaching on that, that's last Sunday, all right? This is a result. The first rest is a gift. Jesus goes, here you go. Right? When we get born again. I'm going to be very careful. I'm going to stop saying saved. I'm going to start saying born again. Because saved is what we get at the end.
Yeah.
Amen. We're born again and we start a journey of a new life in Christ Jesus. Right? We're saved when we get to the end. Amen. Bible's clear about that. We'll teach on that if you don't understand that. But so you get rest when you get born again, but then he immediately calls us to get to work on what's going on in here, right? And the result of that is that you'll find rest for your souls. The second word rest is means cessation. C-E, if you want to write it down, C-E-S-S-A-T-I-O-N, cessation, which means a permanent ceasing from striving. That's a promise from Jesus that's available to anybody who's been born again while you're still on the earth. How many people think that sounds good?
Amen.
How many people want to live free of turmoil on the inside?
Amen.
We can't really, we can speak to stuff out there in Jesus' name, right? But the problem is we think that all the stuff we read in the Bible is about out there, but most of it's about what's in here. Can I get amen? If you get right with the Lord in here, all the junk out there has far less influence on what's going on in here.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So there's a result, and we're going to dig into a little bit more of this morning. And I'm probably going to move a little bit quickly because the Lord had me gave me just some more understanding on this. So we're going to kind of touch on last week a little bit. But let's think about this, church, really quickly. Some review. Issue number one is that we don't understand the word. We looked at that last Sunday. We proved from Scripture that everybody, bless you, everybody starts in a position of not understanding. Is that right? Nobody understands. The Bible says no one understands, not even one, right? So we all start in a position where we don't understand the word, and Jesus tells us that the devil just comes and steals it right away. Is that true? Right? I remember before I was a Christian, I had some people talking about Jesus. I was like, whatever, I don't care about Jesus. And whatever was sown, pow, gone immediately, right? But issue number two, when we decide that we're going to commit to understanding, we decide, okay, I like this gospel stuff. I like this Jesus thing. I'm going to commit to start reading my Bible. Everybody say, read my Bible.
Read my Bible.
Say it again. Every day. Everybody say, every day.
Every day,
read my Bible. Every day. Amen. Say it again, every day.
Today.
When it's called, don't harden your hearts. Amen. We're going to read our Bibles every day. When we commit to that and we say, God, we just cry to God, I want to understand your word. You know what he will do? He'll start making you understand it.
Yeah.
If you want to, you will. Is that right?
Yeah.
So we get past that stage where the devil's just stealing everything we get. Then we hit stage two, which is the rocky ground. Can I get amen? And the Bible clearly says that the seed is falls on rocky ground. It springs up quickly, but because it's got no what, church?
Root.
No root. The sun rises up, scorches it. And the person immediately falls away because they have no root. Amen. We talked about digging up rocky ground last Sunday. Let's get to phase three. Verse 7 of Matthew 13, Jesus says, others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And then in verse 22, Jesus explains, it says, the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Becomes unfruitful. So I was reading this, I noticed something that we'll get to at the end that I thought to be pretty profound. I've read this many, many times and never noticed it till this a couple days ago. But first, Jesus tells us a couple things that we need to examine. Obviously, the seed in this stage, if you will, falls among the thorns. Is that right? Right? But look at the next phrase in verse 7. Other fell among the thorns, and the thorns, what's it say, church?
Came up or sprang up.
Right? King James, I think, says sprang up. The thorns sprang up. They came up and choked out this seed. And what's funny is I'm reading that a few days ago. I some reason I've always read this as like this farmer is walking along and he sees a big old pricker bush and he just throws some seed in there. Well, any farmer that's got any kind of brain cells working is not going to throw seeds into a big pricker bush and expect something to grow. Can I get an amen? I don't even know nothing about growing stuff, and I would not do that. Right? Because nothing's going to grow. If you throw seeds into existing weeds, nothing's going to happen. Can I get an amen? So I had to realize that Jesus is saying that these thorns came up. In other words, when this farmer sowed in this particular section of his field, there were not thorns there when he sowed the seed. Because if there's already thorns, they can't come up. Is that right? The Greek word here is all in the text, and it clearly tells us that these things were not there. In other words, if we go back to phase two for a moment here, what we have to do is get in the yoke with Jesus. We got to plow up the garden of our heart. And all the rocky stuff is what's happened to us in our past. We talked about that last Sunday. I'm not going to preach about it again. But this is all the stuff that happens to us. And we plow, we get all these rocks out. And you know what's left over, my beloved, is really probably a pretty good condition of soil. We think that phase four is the good soil. But I want to challenge you that quite possibly phase three, the soil is actually pretty good right there. Do you see that? And so the farmer's now thinking, man, I decided I'm going to understand, and now I decided I'm going to get in a yoke with Jesus and plow up all the junk in my life and get all this stuff out, and I'll roll it all to the edge of my land and all these things. And now he's like, man, I think I'm in pretty good shape. I'm going to sow some seed now. You know what I found out as I planted my front yard? I talked about that a couple weeks ago. I thought, my gosh, we plowed it all up. I got all the roots out that were all there, all the junk onto the surface. We got all planted seed. We watered it and watered it and watered it. But you know what? I started seeing the grass would grow. And then I'm like, wait, there's something growing over here that is not what I planted. I didn't plant that. Where did that come from? Gotta get amen. Thought that the Lord gave me about this second phase. Again, I'm going to just track with me, church. Amen. We're going to bounce back for just a little bit. That issue in phase two of the rocky ground, this is what the Lord said to me yesterday morning, early in the morning. He said, the pain of the past is what hardens our hearts. The pain of the past is what hardens our hearts. Can I get an amen from anybody that's ever been hurt? Amen. I don't care if it was 20 years ago or 20 minutes ago. When we get hurt, you know what we start doing? We start building a wall. We go, I'm not going to let that happen again. Right? Look at so many things in our culture right now, my beloved, are fueled by fear of getting hurt. Right? How many people like getting hurt? Nobody. Good. We'd come lay hands on you right now, cast a demon out of you. Amen. But nobody likes getting hurt. But you know, here's the truth. You're going to get hurt. You cannot avoid it. And the more we try to avoid it, the more painful it is when it happens. Because we're not dealing with why it hurts. So then we try to do all that. We just try to keep everything safe. And then when it finally does hurt, we're like, how did that get in? Look at Romans chapter 8. We're going to examine this for a moment. You're going to catch this. And I hope that every one of you goes, man, how did I read that parable so many times and not catch this? Romans 8, verse 15. He says, you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. But you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we're called Abba Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are, everybody say are children of God. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter how you feel. Your feelings are deceptive. Oh, again, I'm saying, oh, just follow your heart, brother. Junk! The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, the Bible says. Out of the heart comes all kinds of wickedness, Jesus says. Right? You are children of God. And if children, let's catch this, my beloved. Heirs also. Ever say heirs? You know what an heir means? If you're an heir, it means there's an inheritance coming your way. Heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. That means, my beloved, that whatever Jesus got, you can get. If indeed, oh, there's a, wait, hang on, back up. There's an if on this one. Everybody say if. If indeed we eat marshmallows and s'mores and eat hot cocoa. If indeed we just lay around on the couch and enjoy our blessings of our life. Oh, no. If indeed we suffer with him so that we also may be glorified with him. Again, there is pain on its way. It's coming. What? I'm just going to bind the devil. Good. Probably should do that. But this doesn't say nothing about the devil. Can I get amen? Look at this, church. Paul says that we have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear. Let's say again. Say it again. Say again, again. We've not been given a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. That's in the Greek, church. It's there. And I was like, whoa, wait a second here. Come on, hold up. You can't have something happen to you again unless it's already happened to you and is not currently happening to you. In other words, prior to getting, not saved, born again, and prior to getting born again, we were under a spirit of slavery. Is that true? The Bible tells us that clearly because we've been taken out of the spirit of slavery and given a spirit of adoption. Can I get amen, right? You know what slaves live in is constant fear of the master. Did I work hard enough? Did I do enough? Did I do? Sounds like church. Did I read my Bible enough? Did I pray enough? That sounds like slavery, not sonship. I wonder if I'm worthy. I only read my Bible for 27 hours this week. I tell you what, if anybody here is reading your Bible 27 hours, you're going to be on fire for Jesus, man. All right, just saying that. Can I get amen? If you got 27 hours a week in the Word, you're going to be doing real good. Amen. But you see what I'm saying, church? Every person that comes to me, oh, Pastor, I feel like I'm reading my Bible enough. How much is enough? I don't know. Right, because you don't know. There's no answer for that. I should pray more. Probably. Probably. It's probably a good idea. I should pray more about this. Yes. Amen. How long? I don't know. You know what? Yesterday morning, I sat down with a cup of coffee, opened my Bible. I read my Bible, literally, church, for 4 minutes, and the Spirit of God went, pow, right in the heart. Okay, I'm done. 4 minutes. Amen. Well, that's it, Pastor? All you read your Bible? Yeah, because I heard the voice of God right in the heart. You need to read until you hear something. Once you hear, respond. Is that good? And then read past it if you want to, but can I get amen? The whole thing is not about this slavery mindset. I want to work and work and work and work, grind. That's why so many of us are so miserable. Because we're grinding and grinding and grinding and thinking like, how come I didn't get a reward for grinding? Because you're not supposed to grind. We're supposed to listen. Is that good? I'm going to tear this apart. You, church, get this. You can only do something again. You can only go somewhere again. You can only experience something again if you once did it, went there, or experienced it previously, but are no longer in it. When you're born again, you are delivered, boom, from the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again. Instantly. The power of the blood of Jesus. The spirit of slavery is broken off of your life. And that's why Paul warns us here, do not go back there again. In another one of his letters, he says, don't be enslaved again with a yoke of bondage. You know what the yoke of bondage is? The church I grew up in called it, oh, don't start sinning again, brother. Dude, how many people ever sinned since you got born again? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying and you're sinning right now. So you're guilty, right? Church, that ain't gonna, read that. It's in Galatians or Philippians. I forget which one. But read it. He ain't talking about sin. He's talking about the law. Don't fall back into the old covenant, which is a covenant of slavery. Is that all right? See, what's going on here? Paul's really explaining us the same thing that Jesus is. He's saying, shortly after, the spirit of adoption will begin to work on the garden of our heart to dig out all the rocks that were thrown in there either by others or rocks that we buried there ourselves. Right? Build my wall. I'm going to stay safe. No, you won't. You can only stay safe if you run into the strong tower. Is that good, church? See, the spirit of adoption is preparing our hearts to be, ever say fruitful. We've been delivered from the spirit of slavery. Now we're being freed from the power of that slavery, which is fear. You know what the enemy wants to do? He's going to tempt you with sin. But you know what he wants, really is going to tempt us with? Going back into slavery. Fear. If you can make somebody afraid, you can control them. Just look at Washington right now. Can I get an amen? Back to our parable. People with rocky ground are people who are living in fear of their past. Rocky ground is going to try to prevent, you're going to try to prevent what happened to you in the past from happening to you again. I'm going to tell you the truth right now, I'm going to look over here. It's impossible. Maybe that exact thing would happen to you again, but something's going to happen to you again that's going to tap into that thing that you're burying, and it's going to hurt all over again, like whatever happened to you all those years ago happened all over again. Can I get amen from anybody other than myself that's ever experienced that? Amen. Why did I blow up so bad? Why did that hurt so bad? Does anybody ever blow up in stupid, simple stuff? You're like, why was I so angry about that? You got some rocky ground. That's it, right? We should, if we're born again and being led by the Spirit of God, it doesn't mean we're never angry. Jesus got angry. Be angry and do not sin. Is that right? Our response should be appropriate to whatever the issue is. When we explode about things that are not worth exploding about, it's because we've got rocky ground. Is that right? We see everything that we see, we hear, our emotions are tainted through the lens of our past pain. The future is just full of more pain and disappointment. But, ever say but? If we dig all that junk up and get ready to move forward in faith, our hearts are soft, we're ready to really plant and build, the enemy will stop using our past and start using your future. Is anybody tracking with this, right? I can tell you what, when I decided to follow Jesus, really like start plugging in and digging, read my Bible. Everybody say, read my Bible. Read my Bible, right? I started digging in, praying, coming to prayer meetings, whatever, right? You know what the enemy started doing? The very next thing was like, it was my past. Oh, look at what you did. Look at what you did. You know what was in your past? Yesterday. Did you know that, Kevin? Yesterday was in your past. You know what I started saying when the enemy would sneak in and start talking about my past? I literally did this one time. I put a list of stuff in my pocket, all the stuff that I did in the past, and I took it out and I said, "All right, here's my list. Where do you want to start?" Because at the bottom of the list it says "paid for." Paid for. Can I get amen, church? Look, if the enemy comes up with something that you actually did in your past, stop fighting with them about it. Yeah, I did that. What else you got? Right? We get all upset. Like, you think God doesn't know what you did in your past? You think God doesn't know what you wanted to do that you never did? Yo, we're going to get in more trouble for what we wanted to do that we didn't do than the stuff we actually did do. That should scare us. Fear of God right there. The Word of God judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Yikes. So once we decide to read our Bibles and press in, the enemy is going to come and work with our past. But God is going to dig all that stuff up. We get in the yoke with Jesus. And so the past is like, dead. It's buried. So let's hear this. Look at this thing I said in the beginning of my sermon. I thought there was a nugget that I wanted to wait till now. Verse 22. We're tying this all together. Track with me here, church. Verse 22, Jesus explains that this is the man who hears the word, but it becomes unfruitful. Give us 13:22 up there, Alex, Matthew 13:22. Look at church. This is the man who hears the word, and the word of the world, this evil so well choke the word out. And it, church, what's this? What does it say? It what? Becomes. Everybody say becomes. Becomes unfruitful. So we've been talking about the last like 10 minutes. Is receive a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, meaning you are not in the spirit of fear, but you're getting dragged back into it. Do you see that? Right? He says that the thorns come up and choke the word out. Now, as Jesus explains it, he says, look, what's going to happen is you're going to get the word, you're going to hear the word, but the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth, which we'll talk about in just a moment, but they come up and the word becomes unfruitful. Here's the thing. You cannot become something unless if you already are something. The word's in the Greek, church. I looked it up. You cannot become something if you already are that. Is that true? Yeah. I'm going to be 45 pretty soon, halfway to 90. Yeah, baby. Hitting the top of the mountain in a few months. That's on the other side. Be all good. My wife's like, will you stop saying that? It's just math, right? So you know what? I've got about 5 more months where I can become 45. But once I'm 45, I can't become 45 again because I'm already there. Is that true? So in other words, for the word in this phase 3 to become unfruitful, that would mean that it had to be fruitful to become unfruitful. Do you see that? Has anybody ever seen that in this parable? I have not until about 3 days ago. I thought, whoa, wait a second. We look at phase 4, which is 160, 30-fold, right? So we're not in phase 4 yet, but what we have experienced, because we've said, I'm going to start reading my Bible. I say, read my Bible. Start reading my Bible. I'm going to start praying, and then I'm going to start digging up. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost dig up all the rocky ground, and I'm going to put some seed down because it looks real good, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to start experiencing a little bit of fruitfulness. I want to start seeing, man, this word is really working. I'm going to start tithing. I start seeing God blessing me for tithing. I'm going to start working on my marriage, and man, my marriage is turning around. I'm going to start working on my health, and my health is starting to turn. I'm going to start working on my confession out of my mouth. I'm going to start watching what I'm saying. I'm going to start seeing some fruitfulness. I want to start praying for my kids, and my kids are turning around. I want to start praying for work. My work starts turning around. Well, a little bit of fruit. But what I'm not doing is paying attention to the weeds that are growing in the grass that I planted. Because it says that the thorns came up. You can't come up if you're already up. Is that true? I think what this third issue really is, church, is, I'm gonna be real. We're keeping it real, real here this morning. I was watching, there's this preacher, young preacher, that came on my Instagram reels or something. I don't know how this guy, man, I love this guy. He's so, man, does he keep it real. And the other day, I shared it, some of you might have seen it, but he says, it's like he's on a podcast. I don't know what he's got, like headphones on, this cool little mic with a pop filter or whatever. And he says, here's y'all's problems. Y'all just trust yourself way too much. He goes, y'all think that y'all can just coast along and everything's going to be great. He says, you know when the worst time of my week is? Right after I'm done preaching. He says, when I go home after I'm done preaching, I don't turn the TV on. I don't turn the computer on. I don't get on Facebook. He says, I go in a room that's quiet. I put some worship music on, and I just sit there in the presence of God. Because you know, the devil would love to take me out right after I got done preaching. Church, I've done this 100,000 times in my walk with Jesus. Have a breakthrough and be like, oh, man, time to hit the cruise control. Had a breakthrough. You know, anybody have a breakthrough? Come on, be real. Anybody have a legit breakthrough with God? Did you drive off the road into the woods right after your breakthrough? For real. You're like, wait a second, I just had a breakthrough. He says, right. You need another breakthrough 6 feet down the highway. Like, we have a breakthrough. We're like, oh, the devil's going to leave me alone. No, he's not. No, he's not. You know what he's trying to do? Drag you back into a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again. In order for the word, my beloved, to become unfruitful, the man here, must have experienced at least a season or two of fruitfulness. The issue with the rocky ground phase is that the seed springs up quickly, but then withers when the heat comes. I read this, and I saw Missy has moved my office again in our home. What is it with you ladies? I don't know to get it. Why y'all gonna move stuff just randomly? I don't get it, man. You know what I mean? I came in. I was doing some yard work like a month ago, and I came inside. Missy was gone. I came inside. I went to just lay down on the couch for a minute or an hour, maybe 60 minutes, maybe. Anyway, I sit on the couch, I lay back, and I hit my head on the armrest, and I put my legs out. I'm like, why don't I fit on the couch anymore? And then I stand up, and I'm like, wow, because it's the love seat now, and the couch is over there. And I was like, what? And then I realized, like, this distressor is gone, and I was like, what's going on? So Missy comes home, and I said, babe, you moved the furniture on. She's like, oh, you noticed? She was so touched. I was like, no, I just don't fit on the couch anymore. That's it. That's all that happened. Dude. I said, I'm glad you moved this while I wasn't home. I didn't have to lug all this stuff around. Man. I love when she says, makes me move furniture, and then she's like, I don't like it. Move it back. I knew you weren't going to like it. I could have told you that already. Why y'all ladies got to do that? I don't get it. But so now I'm back on the back porch again, and I look out my backyard. And in the backyard, we've got this crabapple tree that every spring, some springs it's more than others, but it looks like there's snow on it when all the blossoms come. Yeah. It's every three or four years, it's just, pow, it's stunning. Now here's what the Lord said to me. The rocky ground person, think about it. It says that they spring up quickly, but then the sun comes up and scorches it and it burns out because it got no root. But the next person has some fruit, right? Ever say fruit? As I'm thinking about this, that's what the Holy Spirit said to me. You don't get fruit before you get a blossom. Every single tree that bears fruit blossoms first, and then the fruit comes later. Is that true? So, in the rocky ground, this person's got a blossom because they received the word with joy. It says it, right? Boom, wow, that's so good. They had a little pop, little flower came out. Oh, that's so cute. It's so pretty. Look at how beautiful those flowers are. That's lovely. Right. Someone I hugged this morning, they said, you smell good. You got cologne on? I said, no, it's my deodorant. My armpits smell good. Praise God. Probably not now. But can I get amen, church? Do you see this? Rocky ground people, they flower, but they don't have enough root to get them through the summer to the harvest time when the fruit would be ripe, and you can pluck it and eat it. Yeah, you see this? Is that good? We need to understand that just because we're almost done here, just because we decided and committed to understand the word of the kingdom, and just because we got into the yoke with Jesus and got to working on our own rocky ground, and just because we got to the plowing done and have enjoyed some fruitfulness, that does not mean that the devil is not going to try and derail us with one more plan. Back to verse 22 here. What are the two things that Jesus tells us are going to mess up our fruitfulness? The worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth. And they'll choke it out. So number one, the first one there is the worry of the world. Everybody say the worry of the world. So there are two Greek words in the New Testament used for world. One is cosmos and one is aeon. Cosmos is referring to like the physical realm, right? The earth is the cosmos, right? The galaxy, universe, cosmos, right? That's the physical realm. The other one, aeon, is where we get the word eon from, which denotes a period of time. You understand? The word for world here that Jesus used is not cosmos, it's eon. And so what Jesus is saying is that every generation has its own eon that they live in, and every eon has its own issues that rise up. Can I get amen? Think about this, like, you know, my parents, they look at our eon, right? They have their own eon. They're still around, but they look at our eon. I'm like, oh, kids these days. Right? Another little funny story. Our first vehicle that we bought with a DVD player in it, they don't even hardly make those anymore. It had a DVD player in the ceiling, right? And my mom at the time, you know, my mom thought electronics were the devil. And so we bought this car, right? And she's like, oh, you got the fancy one with the TV in it, huh? I was like, yeah, because I got two little kids and we go 6-hour drives. I want to turn the TV on and them shut up. Amen. So my mom was like, wow, okay, fancy TV. So then like a few months later, we went on a long drive. My mom was in the car with us. An hour into the drive, she's in the back seat like drooling at the TV. I was like, man, it works on kids and old folks. Praise God. Yes. We got where we were going. I was like, how'd you like that TV? She's like, what? She snapped out of it. Every culture, my beloved, every generation, my beloved, has a culture about it. Is that true? I'm so happy I didn't live 100 years ago. I like cars, fancy cars and toys and all this stuff. Praise God I'm here now. I really believe that. All this crazy junk going out there right now, I praise God that I'm on the planet right now. Amen. Right? As Elder Mo shared, if you're here now, you ain't here on accident. God put you on earth right now for such a time as this. Is that true? Amen. So we think about what Jesus is telling us here, it's the worry. Now, worry is the same Greek word for anxiety that we see in Peter, casting all your anxiety on him, Jesus, because he cares for you, right? You and I, my beloved, are not designed to carry around a bunch of baggage. We are not. When David went to fight Goliath, I was sharing with some new friends about this the other day. When David went to fight Goliath, a little side note here, we'll be done by 2. Rachel, if you got something up and get it out, girl, it's going to burn, all right? Hang on. When David went to fight Goliath, the Bible says his father sent him to check on his brothers, right? He goes up and he's asking him, what's going on up here? And they tell him what's going on. And he said, man, anybody that takes Goliath out gets the king's daughter in marriage. He's like, sweet. So he's going to go to the battle lines. But you know, the Bible says there's a verse in there. It says that David left his baggage with the baggage keeper. I read that many years ago and I was like, whoa, wait a second. I looked in a bunch of translations. Some of them worded a little weird, but it's there, right? David was carrying something that probably wasn't even all that bad. He's carrying like peanut butter jelly sandwiches for his brothers or something, right? And so he says, man, but I can't go take Goliath out while I've got all this baggage. So I'm going to find somebody whose job it is to take care of baggage And this guy, I know he's going to handle my baggage properly. Not just some random person, but someone whose job it is to handle baggage. And as I was studying this, the Holy Spirit told me to go back and look at King Saul. So I went back and looked at Saul's. When Saul was chosen by the Lord, right? Samuel anoints him privately, but then when he goes to put him in as king, the Bible says that all of the nation of Israel was gathered together, but no one could find Saul. So they prayed and asked the Lord where Saul was, and the Bible says that the Lord said, Saul is hiding over there in the baggage. And it says the people went and dragged him out of the baggage and put him in as king. Here's what I think David's baggage is. You know, Saul, rather than dealing with his baggage and giving it to someone whose job it is to handle his baggage, he gets dragged out of it. He never gets over himself. He never deals with his insecurities, which is what ends up taking him out. David's baggage, I think this is what it is, church. When Samuel goes to Jesse, who's his father, to find David, the Lord sends him there, and he hits Jesse. He says, hey, man, get all your sons together, Jesse. David's the youngest of six. You know how many sons Jesse decides to gather? Everybody say five. David is out on the mountain somewhere taking care of sheep. So the prophet says, get all your sons together. And Jesse only gets five and leaves David out. So he starts with whatever, they got weird names, but he starts with the first one who's tall, big, strong guy. And Samuel says, oh, it must be him. And the Lord says, no. I don't look at an outward appearance, but I look at the heart. It's not him. And he goes down through all these sons, and he finally says to Jesse, don't you have one more son left? Now, I'm paraphrasing this slightly. This is the Pastor Mark translation of this particular story. But Jesse kind of says, well, I mean, there's David, but David? The Bible describes him at that point in his life as a runt. You want David? So he goes and gets David. I don't know how he found him, but David shows up, and here's Samuel, all his brothers, and he's like, hey, guys, what's going on? He's anointed as king right there. Think about the baggage. Why did my dad not get me? Rejection. I think that's what David actually leaves in the hands of the baggage keeper. I'm not going to let this rock get into the soil of my heart. I'm going to give it to the baggage keeper. Here's the thing, church. You got to let the results. You can't just give the problem to the baggage keeper. You got to give the results to him too. Yeah, come on, let's be real. Most of the times we pray in our prayers more about dictating how God answers it than actually letting him deal with it. Is that true? Yeah. Guilty. Yeah. You know, and when I finally decided I'm going to stop trying to tell God how to do his job, my prayer life got a lot better. Is that good? Everybody tracking all right with this? Yeah. Worries of the world. Here's what they look like. Moral issues. Political issues. Educational issues. Racial issues. Social justice issues. On and on and on. The worry of the eon. I'm going to look back here. Turn the news off. You're doing yourself a favor and most of us. I pay attention to the news just enough so I know what's going on. I know who's the super crazy ones are that we really got to like... Lord, save them or move them, right? But church, I know many believers that they spend so much time watching the news and you just, there's fear all over them. Consumed with it. Got no faith. They look into the future with fear. Look, I don't like what's going on right now. But you know, God says every time I start thinking that for 1 second, the Holy Spirit's like, stop looking at that. You look to me. Can I get amen? See, there's nothing more than the devil and his forces want to do, my beloved, than use information, everybody say information, to form how we are viewing current world events or circumstances. And even that word information, like I have it all capitals in my notes here. It's really felt the Holy Spirit, when I said information, I typed it down yesterday morning. I just felt like the word inform. I'm forming you. I'm trying to form. They're using these television shows and these newscasts and all these things to try to formation. They're trying to form how you think. Remember, how many people heard this phrase? The news used to tell us what was going on, and then we decide how we're going to think about it. But now the news, we got no idea of what they're telling us is actually happening, but they're trying to tell us how to think about it. Right? Instead of just giving me, here's what happened, and letting me form my own opinion, we don't know if anything actually happened or what actually happened, but now they're telling us that you got to think a certain way about it, or you're racist or a bigot or a homophobe or what? Complete garbage. Second, the deceitfulness. Everybody say deceitfulness of wealth. Almost done, church, for real. Question. Is money bad?
No.
Yeah. I like money. Anybody else? Anybody not like money? I'll gladly take whatever you got. Prefer cash. Non-sequential, unmarked bills. Come on, church. Is money wrong? Anything wrong with money?
No.
Of course not. As we heard from our brother up here, it's the love. Jesus went to the love of money. And that word is phileo right there, right? It's this, I'm affectionate about money, right? So Jesus is not saying that wealth is going to choke out the word of God. It's the deceitfulness of wealth is going to prevent us from becoming that 160-30-fold fruitful believer, right? We get a little bit of fruit, and then something creeps in, right? The rocky ground is my past. The thorny ground is the future. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? How much is oil going to be this winter? I don't know. But my Bible says, as long as I'm giving, that my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. It's not my job to make sure there's oil in my tank. As long as I'm giving, that's God's job to make sure that there's oil in my tank. You know what? I take that piece of baggage and I give it to the baggage keeper. Hey, you got something to do. I refuse. Everybody say refuse. Church, I refuse to worry about it. Conscious decision. I will not. I will not let that get in and start rattling around in my brain because we'll be in trouble if that stuff gets in there and starts bouncing around. That good? What does this look like? Here's a couple things. One, being rich will make me happy. Deception. If you think that you need more stuff to make you happy, you are deceived. Look, I like stuff. Anybody not like stuff? Anybody not like stuff? I like stuff, man. If you don't like stuff, because you ain't American. America, where we make stuff.
We're shipping in.
Yeah, but now we're shipping it in. God, Lord, deliver us from ourselves. Number two, kind of number one, two, ring of it. Having lots of stuff will make me happy. Like a dog chasing a car. Chasing, great. Now what do I do? Right? Look at what we're telling our kids. Goals, 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 and career, education. Like, fine. But how many kids are graduating college with a doctorate in a goodness gracious, Lord, help me. I'll be nice. Some doctorate that's not useful in the real world. There's $6 million in college student debt. Oh, here's 10 grand for your $6 million of student loan. But by the way, your kids are going to pay for, because we ain't got no money, because we're broke. The government broke. The only entity that can spend money they don't have and then justify it. Dude, could you imagine just running your house, spend money you don't have, and see how long you're going to make it? The government's the only people that can do that. And then just put it on us. What? Dude. Evil. Number three, money's going to solve my problems. Wrong. Number four, having money means I'm successful. Wrong. Number five, having money will fix my marriage. You know I say that? We gotta disinfect this when I'm done, bro. All right. Number six, a lack of money. Listen to this one, church. A lack of money means I've sinned or somehow failed. You know that the church, there's lots of church actually teaches that. If you ain't got money, it's because God ain't blessing you. What a bunch of garbage. That is complete garbage. Because if that's true, then that means that Paul is going through seasons of his ministry time where the Lord's not with him. What a bunch of garbage. Can I get amen? Number seven, last one. How much money we have is a direct reflection of God's favor on one's life. Garbage. Complete garbage. Because what that means is when folks got money, they say, hello, look what God's blessed me with. You know, the devil got some money too, y'all. He got some money. He can bless you. You know what he really likes to do is bless you when you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. He says, hey, here's a little bit of money. If I know the money's going to make you think you're doing good, I'll give you some money. No problem. A couple promotions at work. See, we all think the devil's just going to burn your house down all day. He says, no, I'll wait. He's patient. Is this all right? 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10 says this, but those who, is it up there? But those who, look at this phrase. Let's wait just a moment. We're almost done. Those who, everybody say, want to. Those who want to get rich. It doesn't say those who get rich. It says those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it, what's it?
Money.
Have wandered away from the faith. And pierce themselves with many griefs. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. The writer says this, do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. Here's the biggest deceit of money. Let's stand up. We're done right here. The biggest deceit of wealth, my beloved, is this. If I have enough, I'll make it. If I have enough, I'll make it. No, you won't. No, you won't. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this day, Lord. And God, I pray that you'd help us see that this parable is indeed a progression. You're calling all of us, God, to be abundantly fruitful, consistently, over and over and over. And Holy Spirit, help us to see maybe where we're at in these phases, or maybe we've slipped backwards into one of them a little bit, or something's happened to us. God, help us to see where we're at in this and just be honest about it. And that we trust you that you're going to deliver us out of wherever we might be, God. Because we're all called to be 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold fruitful believers, God. Help us, God, if the culture needed a fruitful church, if it's ever needed a fruitful church, God, it's now. Amen. So, Lord, help us to be fruitful believers for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands and bless the Lord. Thank you so much. If you need prayer for anything, please come on up. We'd love to pray with you. And otherwise, have an awesome afternoon and enjoy your week in the Lord. Amen. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. Thank you so much. Rachel's community group, you guys, if we can give her a hand, any setup that needs to happen, that'd be wonderful. And thank you guys all. Have a good week. Amen.